This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Football. Nice. That's what Maryland does.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Are you a big man? I'm talking to you.
What?
You wake up in the morning, you say, I put on my big boy pants. Put on a little jacket, you go. You take your lunch because you got big boy pants on.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative. This is how you conduct yourself in a democracy.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We want to look to the future. We've got to tear down the past. Babe Ruth was nothing more than a fat old man with little girl legs.
The Fan.
I want it all. Money, fast cars, diamond
rings. Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Thanks for being with us on a Monday. Hope you're doing all right. World's burning, but hopefully we're providing a distraction for you.
Got to be in it together, man.
We are in it together. We got a lot to get to here in the final hour. I saw that Jeff Passan just tweeted, and I don't know what the hell he's talking about, but Jeff Passan tweeted, turn on SportsCenter. There's news coming with Carl Ravitch.
I saw him, I want to say like 10 minutes ago in the middle of our date talk.
Ravitch was on there?
No. It was Passan. But I don't know if that was an old clip because I didn't seem live. And it also doesn't seem to be a big deal because they moved on to talk about other issues.
Yeah, and this was tweeted out at 2:01. So it came out 6 minutes ago. And I have not seen anything. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah, just the Woj right now.
Just Woj. They're talking about the protests and what the NBA is doing, that kind of stuff. So we'll keep an eye on that. I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
If you're Woj with that hair, are you shaving it or are you keeping it? Because somebody jokingly said, shave your head, man. He said, no, I'm holding on to it as long as I got it.
He said he's going to hold on to it, huh?
Yeah, that's why he hasn't cut it.
It's not that bad.
He's passable for me.
Yeah. I've seen much worse.
I mean, oh, yeah, absolutely. But
if it once you lose maybe another inch of the battlefront.
That front's kind of hanging on there.
And then you let it go.
He's almost Stephen A here. Yeah. Mid-head hairline situation.
He's got a 5-head going on. It's all right. Yeah, if you lose another inch of that front battle line, then you get it. Then you're halfway up the head, and there's no point in holding on at that point. Okay, we'll get to a baseball thing here in a moment. I'm going to wait and see if Carl Ravitch has anything to say that is actually newsworthy. There's also notes about a couple of Major League Baseball teams that I want to get to and the opinion of some of the owners that should piss everybody off. We're just in a good mood. We were talking. By the way, somebody had asked what Washington's average price was. $195 for a first
date. Wow.
$195.
The problem with that is I think Washington's probably closer to us in their whole state. You get Seattle prices for stuff and it's going to jack up your average.
Yeah, it's all of Seattle based for the most part. Vancouver a little bit, I guess, too. But listener had asked what Washington was. California, I believe, was the second highest. They were over $200. But Washington up there, up near the top. Let's get to this, though. This is going on in the UK. I wonder how you guys would feel about this and how many people are actually going to follow this. So this came from The Mirror. You guys big readers in The Mirror?
No,
I don't read The Mirror.
Is that like the Daily Caller and
kind of
all that stuff?
Kind of in that same category. They have the government has introduced new measures in the UK that will mean gathering with one or more people from outside your household in a private space, such as a house or flat, will be against the law. Essentially saying that sex in your house with someone from outside of your household is set to become illegal.
Really?
You cannot have somebody that's not in your house in your house.
So you're not paying $150 for a first date.
Yeah.
What's this is that what you're telling me?
For the first date industry, they're introducing new lockdown measures that prevent people from socializing or gathering with one person from outside their household in a private space.
Well, but seriously, and I saw this suggestion, with all the protests and the rioting and the other things that have gone on the last couple days, we're kind of at the point now where you have to wonder why is any business shut down? We're getting thousands and thousands of people
gathering in the street.
And sure, there's a good chunk of them that are wearing masks. There's also a huge chunk of them that are not.
Yeah.
So the COVID thing has now subsided into the protesting.
Right. It has been taken over.
Which then gets hijacked by idiots who try to riot and then they loot. And yeah, it seems like the social distancing mask stuff, like if that is kind of at an end here, and I'm all for the protesting and getting this injustice figured out. And good God, just Minnesota dropped the ball in so many different ways. You can't even begin. But it seems like with however many people are hanging out together, we're past it. So why is anybody closed? It's kind of what my thinking was.
Yeah, it's
kind of regulations, but
right. It's kind of a weird situation because we kind of thought about that over the weekend at Bandon Dunes, because some people were masked people and some people weren't. There wasn't a requirement to go to any, you know, if you're going to go into a facility that you have to wear a mask. There was a lot of areas, like we sat down for our first in-person like restaurant meal in months, and it felt great to do it. And we weren't wearing masks. We were sitting next to each other. Now, one listener did comment on Twitter, which made me chuckle, because we took a picture together on the golf course, the six of us. And he said, oh, I guess no need for social distancing, which I said, we literally share a studio with each other every day.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if he was being sarcastic or if he was serious, then okay. But yeah,
we're literally in the same room and building with these people. Outside of Luke, who's been working from home, but Dusty's in this building every day. Swag
comes
in
here on the weekends.
Luke's in here and he's in the studio. So we're already around each other. I think that ship is kind of sailed. But we did get a chuckle though, because there were some folks who were wearing masks and it felt like it was more of just a symbolic mask wearing, because a lot of the protocols weren't followed. Where like a nose was hanging out. Yeah. It's like, well, that defeats the purpose. Or it's like lifted up at the bottom so the mouth is out. It's like, you're kind of defeating the purpose there.
When I first walked in, I saw a sign on their door and it talked about masks, you know, help stop spread. And so I ran back to my car and I grabbed I have a mask in my car. I've got a mask almost everywhere I end up needing one, right? I got one place.
Just in case you need it.
So I grab it, I put it on, I walk in, and there's, you know, the regular people who don't have any. And then there's the workers who are wearing them. And so I'm thinking, okay, I did this right. Well, then I go back into the next day. Or we go in there later that night for dinner. And there's a lot of people without masks. And I'm like, are we supposed to wear masks? I didn't know what the protocol was. So I kind of just went with the flow. And then I saw behind me, Matt Ryan ain't wearing no mask. And if Matt Ryan ain't wearing no mask, then I'm not wearing a mask.
Right.
And as you mentioned, we've all been working together anyway. So if one of us has it, we've all contracted it in some form. The only wild card was our host, Megan. But she's, you know, we talked to her throughout our par three round and she was taking it pretty seriously too. So I don't know. I think a lot of this is now just, do you trust the person that you're with that they've been doing this right? If you do, then the mask, maybe isn't as big a deal. I don't know.
I saw that story out of the UK. I just chuckled. How good luck policing that. They also had to put in the story in the Mirror that for now as well, looking for a workaround having sex in public, that is also illegal. So, in the UK, you're no longer to have sex with somebody that doesn't live in your house.
Reopen sex in public.
In public?
Hashtag reopen sex in public.
That's what Joe's fighting for. He's protesting, baby.
Man, Joe really wants to get back out there.
All right, let's get to some baseball stuff, because Passan is talking on ESPN, and he's also tweeting, but what he's talking about on ESPN is different from what he's tweeting, so I will try and make sense of it. Also, what some of the owners are saying, potentially, and
the Nationals. What are you doing?
We got to make fun of one team and credit another. We'll get to some baseball stuff next on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in 218. But he said, do you guys not get the virus? Just because there's protesters doesn't mean the virus is gone. Just because people are dumb doesn't mean the virus is gone. That is not
it's
saying
not
in
at
any
all
way, shape, or form.
The point of what we just talked about.
I enjoyed this text. Somebody said, I went to get ice cream. One of our P1s. Went to get ice cream at Safeway Saturday night. Dude pulled his mask down to sneeze. Nice.
I mean, I can't even begin to tell you. There was a... I won't tell you where I saw them. There was a couple
defeats the whole purpose.
Visiting from Boston and slightly older. They're both, well, one was wearing a mask and she didn't want to talk anymore with it. So she just yanked it right off her face. It was like, I can't talk or breathe with that thing. I'm sorry.
I'm done.
And then she just kept telling a story and I'm like,
okay,
you wore this to stop that.
Here we go.
But all right.
We're in this world together now. Let's get to some baseball stuff, shall we? Now, it was weird because Passan was on ESPN, and it must have been a pre-recorded thing. I don't get it.
I think almost those are pre-recorded.
Because he said, turn on SportsCenter, I got news coming. We look up, then Jeff Passan's on the TV, and he's talking about the new proposal from the Major League Baseball Players Association for a 116-game schedule that will lead from July 1st until October 31st, and that was their re-proposal, right? Well, then Jeff Passan takes to Twitter, and he tweets this out. Major League Baseball intends to propose a shorter season in which they would pay players a full prorated share of their salaries. Sources told ESPN the league believes the late March agreement allows it to set the schedule and that this would fulfill the players' pro-rata desire. So, this, if I'm not an idiot, seems to be the most optimistic news we've got about Major League Baseball in quite some time.
Well, yeah. I mean, if the players' biggest gripe was prorated salaries the way they agreed upon that in March, then if they're eliminating that and giving it to them and playing a shorter season, there you go. Now, the players want to play 114 games. So, there's going to be, maybe they can work this arrangement out and get to 60 or 65 games. If you're a player, you really have to ask yourself, do you want to take your prorated salary for a shorter season, or do you want to continue to battle over a 25 to 30 game difference? I think eventually you have to take money, right? Well, we talked about this. I largely felt like throughout the country, the owners were the one being able to skate on this and the players were getting the blame.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the owners have stepped up and said they'll do prorated salaries, which is what they wanted. Okay, now if you're the players, you have to give in on some of this. If you're going to come to an agreement and have a season, you've got to agree to it. And if it's 50 to 60 games, yeah, that might not be nearly as much as you thought you'd earn in 2020, but it gives you a season. I think it builds your fan base support. The TV ratings would be insane. It could lead to more advertising dollars for individual players. This is something that if the players get this, sure, heckle over for a day or two, 55 to 65 games or 50, whatever you agreed upon, just get it done because you wanted prorated salaries. They reportedly have prorated salaries now. And it's really interesting that it never had to come to this. The owners could have just did this the whole time, said, hey, what if we cut the number? We'll still prorate you.
Right. Instead of 80 games, we'll just do 50.
We'll do 50. We'll do 60, whatever it is. And we'll get this going. Then you wouldn't have had this long drawn out battle and they'd probably be doing spring training wherever the hell they're doing spring training.
Major League Baseball likes to shoot themselves in the foot before they can figure things out. This was on the heels of a Buster-only report that came out that said a lot of owners were perfectly willing to go with the nuclear option for this upcoming season and basically shut everything down. He wrote, sources say there's a group of owners perfectly willing to shut down the season to slash payroll costs and reduce losses. And the views among the 30 teams have been reflected in the decisions to fire and furlough. The Pirates' Bob Nutting used the shutdown as an avenue to suspend the team's contributions to employee 401k plans, saving the best measured monthly in tens of thousands rather than the millions that would be difference-making for the franchise, probably worth $1 billion. So he goes on, saying there's a big group of owners that are just saying, hey, we'll take this thing down to the studs. We'll cut everybody. Not cut everybody, but furlough a lot of employees. We're going to cut salaries, and we'll see if we can get a season going in 2021. So that was the report that came out today. That was a little concerning because there's a lot of cheap owners out there, John Fisher being the cheapest of the bunch. Then you get this report, and I'm with you. I feel like this is a pretty solid back and forth that's now happened. The players wanted to make more money. They wanted their prorated salary that they agreed to, and their counter proposal was, okay, you're not willing to pay us for 81 or 82 games of prorated salary. How about we play 100 games? And we're essentially playing, 18 games for free. I think they even went in one plan as high as 116 games, ending all the way at the end of October. The one concern that the owners have had that I totally agree with and have the entire time is the fear over another outbreak at some point, right? Like that's been brought up by a lot of different people. If we're not better equipped in terms of a vaccine to handle this stuff by October and November, which we're likely not going
to be. Fauci just came out and talked about that. They're not even sure if they're going to find the thing they want to keep working into the vaccine till November.
Right. It's going to take a long time here. So if you get a second wave of this thing coming out in the fall and you have to lose out on your postseason because you're not finishing your regular season until the end of October, there's an issue there. And I totally get that from the owners. And they're saying we want to finish the season sooner. So apparently this plan, according to Passan, envisions that the season would run somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 regular season games. The exact number is still being considered, but the aim would be to return in July, and you would finish, you know, probably by September, end of September. You're only going about 3 months there to get to 50 games, and then you could play your postseason
in October,
right before October's out, and you feel better about your chances of finishing. If you need to go to a certain location to play your World Series or your ALCS, NLCS, you can do that if you have to. This feels like a pretty solid compromise. The players are going to make less money, of course, because they're only going to get a 50 game prorated salary, so you're making less than half of what you were supposed to. But
which
at
is
least
still more for the top earners though than they were going to.
Right.
Trout was going to go from 30
exactly
something to 5 million, so
right, he was under a huge pay cut on top of the proration already to begin
with. The prorate will still hurt the lower wage making ball players a lot, but at least again they'll have a season. I've loved the backtracking by the owners. And then they've also been shamed into paying, even though they act like they can't afford it. The Nationals basically announced they were going to cut financing to their minor league guys. And Sean Doolittle and a couple other players stepped up and said, we'll cover it. We'll step up and we'll give you your full salaries. That went so viral, the Nationals today came out and said, oh, after careful consideration.
Yeah.
It's like, so you claim to be too poor to do it, so you make cuts. Then players who make, like, a hundredth of what you make are going to pay it. You get shamed into paying for it.
Yeah, now you found the money all of a sudden underneath the couch cushion.
I mean, it's why the rich are rich. Yeah. They don't spend money. They have other people spend money.
Yeah, that was a really bad look for the Nationals. I do want to credit, though, the Kansas City Royals. They went above and beyond in this. And not only are they paying all their minor leaguers for the rest of the season, they also came out and said that they will not be cutting anybody. A lot of teams are cutting guys that are just normal spring training cuts, but they're saying everybody needs a paycheck right now, and a lot of teams are cutting 20 to 30, somewhere in that range, players from their minor league systems. They're not going to do that either. So major tip of the cap to the Kansas City Royals and the way they're running things. I thought that was a pretty cool sign. This would be very interesting to see the players' reaction to it, because as we mentioned earlier in the show, you have to get this going by July.
Oh, yeah.
You have to.
Yeah,
the season has to start at the beginning of July.
If you want to give them 3 weeks training camp, you have to get this done.
And they're going to need 3 weeks of warm-up to get the arms going, to get everybody back reporting, all that kind of stuff. You have to formulate your schedule, right? You want a regionalized schedule. How are you going to map that out? Like, this is all going to take time. We're all just kind of spitballing ideas on what we want it to look like right now. You need to get a deal done by this week. So this was the owner's rebuttal, apparently, of saying, hey, we're not going to give you 116 games. We want to make sure we get a postseason in. How about 50? We pay you the full prorated amount. It should also be noted, too, for baseball fans, that in the players' response to the owner's initial thing that they totally rebuffed, the players proposed back-to-back years with expanded playoffs. Because they're saying that's where, I mean, for Major League Baseball, that's where you're going to make your money. And that's why they want to expand the playoffs, is saying we're losing on all these regular season games, throw in some more TV, you know, postseason opportunities, that kind of stuff, make your money back in the back end. So it might end up being a back-to-back year thing. And if it goes well, you know they're going to carry through with that and it'll become permanent.
Also, the one game wild card's stupid. So
and they're going to get rid of it.
Turn that into a best of five or a best of seven, whatever it takes. You can add more, teams, and you could add longer series than a one game wild card.
Yep, somebody said, imagine the O's going 28-2. Woohoo!
Joe might cry.
I'll take that phony ass illegit trophy. Bring it on.
Yeah, if you do it, let's say it's 50. They agree to 50.
Yeah, I think it would be really fun for 1 year.
It really would.
You find the positive in it, dude. You'd have a complete sprint. Every game
every
would matter.
Game matters.
Yeah.
You can't go, well, Mariners are playing White Sox. I'll watch the two of the three of that series. You got to watch all those games.
Yeah. The funny thing, too, about Major League Baseball is you have situations where teams that suck can get off to really bad or really good starts.
Remember the Mariners last year?
The Mariners, what did they start, like 14-2 in their
something
first
like
16
that, yeah.
games? Dude, if you have a crappy team that somehow stumbles their way into a 14-2 start, you're almost at the halfway point of a 50-game season. And you'd be like 8 games up in the division. There was 1 year where Kansas City, when they were like bottom of the barrel, I can't remember if somebody remembers the exact number, but they started like 10-0 or 11-0. It's a 50-year season. You'd already be over. You'd be like 11-0, just rattling off random wins. And then you start sucking. But maybe maybe you back your way into the playoffs because they're expanded.
Well, I mean, the Nationals even year up in last year were
they'd be the
19-31.
Yeah,
they were 19-31. Their season would be done. I mean, they had no chance of competing and even getting into that dance.
That's 50 games right there. Their season would have been over at that point.
Imagine the O's do start, Joe. You're going to cry when Adley Rutschman, the clutchman, comes out with a home run to put your team in the postseason for the first time in 28 years.
I was already expecting that with a 162 game season anyways. So.
All seriousness, when's the last time the O's made the playoffs?
Just a couple of years ago, 2015.
About 4 years ago. 16?
Was it a one game?
They lost. Their closer blew it.
Yeah, that was the Blue Jays Ubaldo Jimenez.
Was that in Toronto?
Yes. Yeah, that was in Toronto. Edwin Encarnacion hit the walk-off.
I always love...
Zach Britton, top closer.
Camden's
somehow.
Always one of my favorites.
Not pitching.
Yeah. And when Camden's full and going crazy, Camden Yards cannot be beat. It's...
First ballpark I ever went to.
It's a special, special place.
Camden Yards, I've been there twice. It is unbelievable, man. Yeah. That place is gorgeous.
And they love good baseball. They just... Like most people don't want to say, yeah, I'm spending my money on a crappy team.
Yeah, and they've been tanking. Tanking teams don't go. Yeah. Look at the Astros when they tanked for like 4 or 5 years.
No,
it was an abandoned warehouse, and now they sell out every game. That's what happens. So there's your latest baseball news. Jeff Passan reporting that the owners in Major League Baseball have sent their proposal back, and it is now basically playing a shorter season at the full prorated amount, so they would get paid for every game, no cuts in terms of percentages of what they would have made. They get paid on a per-game basis, and they're proposing somewhere in the neighborhood of a 50-game regular season, so a just huge sprint to the end, and then you jump into the playoffs with, of course, that expanded playoff format that they're talking about to try and make more money up in the back end. You can text in your thoughts, 503-250-1080. Again, that is the new text line, 503-250-1080. We'll read some of your thoughts on it, on what you're thinking about Major League Baseball, and we got some more to get to in the next half hour. But first, here is Joe with SportsCenter.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Let me text it in. At this point, any live baseball would be great. Too long to wait so far. No doubt about it. It'll be a good case study, too, if you end up playing a 50-game season for all the people that argued the season should be shortened.
Well, that's...
Just to see what it's like, how it feels. You just... the vibe of a 50-game season is going to be fascinating.
I'm one that's okay with shortening a baseball season. I don't know if you go all that extra. Like, I would go 120. But to your larger point, and you've always said this, like, if you only want to watch 120 games, only watch 120 games.
Yeah, you can watch as many as you want.
50. Yeah. 50 is going to be exciting, but I don't want the excitement of it. I think part of the excitement of it is obviously going to be every game matters, right? And I said this about the NBA. One of their most exciting seasons is when you randomly had lockout years and you play 50 to 50 whatever games. I think part of the excitement from it is going to be our thirst for sports.
For sure.
Maybe more so than the actual season itself. Because as Joe mentioned and we talked about, if you have Washington National type teams that are capable of winning the World Series, but they have slow starts, 19-31 is almost always going to doom you, right? 50 game season, you're cooked. There is no chance. 60 game season, you're cooked. There's no chance. 70, cooked.
Yeah, there's
no chance.
You can
when
get
you start
back.
Getting in the 90s and then the 100, that's when the full turnaround takes effect. That's when your record goes from substantially sub 500 to now you have reached X amount of games over 500. So I think it's going to be fun. As one listener points out, I want it back. I'll do anything to have live sports. I'm with them in that. I don't believe we should walk away from whatever this season ends up being and go, yeah, let's have a conversation on why it should be 50 games.
This is the way it should look.
Part of the reason it's going to be great is because of our desperation for sports to return.
There's no doubt about it, man. I continue to try and be optimistic and thinking of what July could look like. Can you imagine, like, we could hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on wood, be a month away from having the NBA playoffs being played, the Stanley Cup playoffs being played, Major League Baseball being back, and PGA Tour events happening again. Mm-hmm. And there's other sports too. Like, if you're a fan of other stuff, a lot of other stuff will be back as well.
Imagine if the NBA goes with the like all day format that's been floated around where they're trying to get in as many games.
You just go wall to wall, man.
Yeah, 9 a.m. to whatever time at night. NBA all day. Sign me up.
I watch that from the second I wake up to the second I go to sleep.
Now, let me ask you this. have you guys given any thought at all to the idea that that could be our sports for the year? I know this has not.
I have a little bit, yeah.
You know, like, say, I jokingly say the NFL is going to play no matter what, and they'll probably still give people full access to filling stadiums up. If the second wave hits and it gets worse, football ain't being played. College ain't being played. NFL ain't being played.
Or at least
care.
You might start in August or September and then have it stopped when that second wave. But depends on when the wave comes.
If it hits at the very start of football season, I can't imagine it's being played. I don't care how brazen the NFL thinks they are. And so just for that, I think I'm going to put a little more vested interest into everything you just said. I don't know anything about hockey. I don't know strategy. I'll tell you how stupid I am in hockey. I actually think half of hockey is just luck. Like, it just bounces and the goalie misses it or somebody pushes somebody. I don't know anything about hockey.
You got to create your own luck, man. It's part. You got to get pucks on the net, Sprager.
I know it's a stupid thing, and there's actually a lot into it, no doubt.
There's a certain percentage of luck, sure.
But I'm going to take in hockey. I'm going to take in the NBA, and I'm going to take in baseball, and I'm going to fully embrace it and golf. And I'm just going to say, there's a chance this is it. As optimistic as we may be today, we don't know where we're going to be at in September. This could be it. I'm taking it in. Welcome to my life. And if it's all we got in 2020, it was a weird, dumb as F year, but I'll at least be appreciative we got some life sports back.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There is such a pent up hunger for it that I'm going to appreciate every second of it. And this is an interesting question. I feel like it has an easy answer, but it's something I hadn't thought about yet. Somebody texted in again, 503-250-1080. That's a new text line.
Said, we should be doing that more often.
Mention it out.
503-250-1080.
It's the old phone number. It's still not the old. It is our phone number. So you can call us with the same number as well. It's a text line. They're connected. Just save it in your phone. It's the fan. Somebody said, do you think some of the potential future Hall of Famers will be hurt, like stats-wise, by only having 50 games this year? My retort to that would be, granted, in 94 they played more games, but how many games did they play in 1994?
God, we looked this up with the Griffey
Thomas
stuff.
I know
they
got to the All-Star break. So I want to say 90-ish were played in 1994 MLB season.
I mean, that sounds right.
Because you go slightly past it, right?
Griffey had 47. No.
Okay, so no, it was a little bit longer than that. So it went, the strike was called after most teams had completed about 113 games. So again,
he had 47 at 113. I remember we said, would he have broke
pacing.
The Maris record?
He was pacing.
Which I think he would have.
Yeah, it was an incredible year for him. So I guess that's an apples and oranges comparison because that's still a big gap between 113 and 50-something, right? But I there's something to it of, I think if you're looking at stats at the end of the career, is 80 games really going to make that big of a difference? You know what I mean? Like, if you're a Hall of Famer at this point and you're ready to retire, you're probably already a Hall of Famer. Like, is there anybody this year that was going to play one more season and have their candidacy be put over the top?
I think, if anything, it could actually help pitching or certain
argument.
Hitters. Like, if you hit the right slump for 40 games a year, you know, you have that good stretch of baseball during the 50-game season, you're probably going to, I mean, you're going to go and you're going to get credit for that year, and then you go in the next year and be like, whoa, man, he's really coming on. I think it could help. Obviously, is it going to, you know, diminish.
Your overall numbers won't be the same. Yeah, of
Mike
course.
Trout's numbers are going to go down RBI-wise, yeah. Home run-wise. So, yes, in that regard, it's going to hurt. But I don't think it's going to make the difference between making the Hall or not making the Hall.
One last note on this, too. I saw somebody put out a pretty fun piece to read the other day about what the kind of cool things you could see in a shortened regular season. And one of them, there's a lot of different little things you can watch throughout the course of the year.
Yeah.
But one of them was, we have a chance to see somebody hit 400. Now, would it be the same as watching a guy do it for 162 games? Of course not. But you see that all the time. And there's guys that get off to hot starts for the first month and a half of the season, and they're hitting over 400. There's guys, you know, by June, that are still hitting in the 390s. And eventually, over time, it wears down, and the law of averages play out. And we haven't seen that happen in a really long time. But you have a chance to see some cool stuff like that. So something to keep in mind as well.
I just look back because I remember talking about that 94 Griffey year. They played 111 games in Seattle that season. He had 40 homers when they stopped. He had 90 RBIs and 40 home runs at the 111 mark.
111.
He was 21 homers away at the 111 mark.
So in what, 50 games? Math is terrible. 51 games, right? Is that correct? when 51 plus 11 is 62?
Yeah, yeah, 51.
Okay.
Yeah.
51 games to go.
Yeah.
He needed to hit 20 home runs in 21 games.
To tie the record.
21, yeah, to tie.
He for sure could have done that.
Yeah. So there's that'll be the unfortunate part is if you have somebody, let's say in a 30-game span that hits a crazy amount of, or a 50-game span, excuse me, it's a crazy amount of home runs, you'll be left with those what-if questions. But it'll be a sprint. I think we'll all watch it, enjoy it. We're all hungry for sports. Somebody said, what about soccer guys? Dude, yeah, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it's
yeah,
all
no
coming back, man. No disrespect meant by any comments. We're just excited to have sports back. So you know, hopefully July will end up being that month where it's like wall-to-wall, jam-packed. You got everything going on. I'm going to soak all of it in.
Didn't the Thorns do something? They were part of the is it called the Challenge Cup?
Yes.
And they drew, like, who plays who, and I think the Thorns figured out who they were going to play when they returned.
Yeah, I don't know who the I forgot who the team was, but I think it's June 27th that
yeah,
they're
going to
do this.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter this morning. I was like, oh, okay.
Dude, it's kick-ass, man. It's right around the corner. Okay, I'm going to close up with a couple of fun stories, one of which Joe's going to try and poo-poo because, you know, it's just Joe. He's got to poo-poo stuff from time to time.
I'm curious now. Is it about tipping?
Also, Joe, I want to know if you think you're going to break 100 on Thursday.
And we'll ask that question as well. Joe, when was the last time you played a round of golf? Eight full 18 holes.
Not par three, Sahali a couple weeks ago.
Not par three, yeah. a normal course.
Wildwood last year.
Okay.
Up in like the Skapoose area.
Yeah, Wildwood's a beautiful course.
It was nice.
What'd you shoot?
I don't remember. That scorecard doesn't exist.
Okay, so Joe's going to play his first round of golf in a while, but he's bragging about hellacious seeds on the range. What will he shoot at Eastmoreland on Thursday? 503-250-1080 is the fan text line. We'll close up there next on the fan. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong
time. I done said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line. This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, the fan.
We keep testing it out. It works, man. 503-250-1080. That's our new text line. Hit us
this
up
thing on.
Hit us up on them. Including Rick Jones, P1, and sponsor. What up, Rick Jones?
Rick Jones.
Who?
Rick Jones.
Somebody said, I'll buy with Joe Sellin. He's going to shoot sub 100. Bold. Another one. That's easy one. That's an easy 120 for Joe. Sorry, bud. Before we get to those, let me rattle through two quick fun stories, okay?
Yeah.
I want to try and cheer people up because everybody needs a cheering up right now. Now, Joe's going to poo-poo this first one, to which I just don't quite understand. Okay. This came from the USA Today today.
Today today.
Today today.
Today today.
By day by day.
By day.
By day. They said that Costco, they reported Costco is planning to bring back its legendary free samples next month. With some changes, retailer suspended those popular samples, of course, you know, global pandemic, Rona and all, which absolutely sucked. But they are apparently saying that they are targeting a mid-June return of the freebies. We're going to start doing some things in mid-June on a slow rollout basis of sampling free samples back in June. To which Joe, before the show, poo-pooed free samples at Costco.
Well, I mean, I'm for free samples at Costco. I'm just not really down for them right now.
Really?
I'll tell you this.
Come on. They come in the little cups. You grab the cup. They're
just
fine.
Sitting there out in the open.
Yeah, who's walking up and sneezing on them?
I'd love to.
You got to wear a mask in Costco. You can't take your mask off. Everybody's wearing a mask.
Well, people are pulling their mask down to sneeze at Safeway. So, I mean.
Safeway's lawless.
Can we pump the brakes here for a second?
Their name's literally Safeway.
That's true. If you're going out to a grocery store, I think you're already acknowledging that you're in on a bit of a risk in some regard, right? Yeah. You're like, I got to go get this groceries.
Sure.
Yes, somebody could have it there. Costco has been as dialed in as any company I have been to and seen during this whole thing.
They are.
And so I think if anybody's going to have...
I trust them.
Yeah, if anybody's going to have samples and do it safely, it's going to be Costco. Screen guard in front of their person, mask and gloves... you talk about cups, maybe toothpicks, and social distancing as we wait.
Hell, maybe you even cover up you got the little plastic containers. Maybe you put a little cover over them.
Yeah, more trash.
Cover, just sweep. Yeah. Well, sure. Hey, but whatever you got to do for free samples, free samples is the most important thing right now. There is a bit of good news.
Do you ever have the Costco guilt of samples where, not that you have a couple, because I think everybody kind of dives back in and goes and grabs another they like.
You go around that aisle twice.
It's normally the circumstances are that gal is a 60 to 75 year old woman working a job because she either needs to or is bored. And she's just giving you the general knowledge of what it is that they're serving. And almost nobody listens. She kind of ends up just talking to herself.
Sure, nobody cares about what you're actually selling.
I always grab the sample and I kind of stick around and go, oh, okay, great, thanks. Just to make her feel better.
I'm trying to rattle through my brain if I've ever actually bought something off of a free sample.
Oh, I have.
Have you?
Tons.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
You try something, you're like, oh, it's really good.
And you grab a box of it.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for the employees, though, because Costco treats their employees really well.
No. It's not. I guess it's not a feel bad. It's a, do you ever feel obligated to listen? Or do you just grab and walk away?
No, you grab and go, baby. Okay. You grab and go. One other fun story before we get to Joe and what he's going to shoot on Thursday. John Gregorek. You heard of him before?
Big fan?
Big fan of Johnny Gregorek?
Love him.
Big fan of his work.
John G?
He is apparently one of the... This comes to you from Runner's World, avid reader.
We call him Johnny Gangsta.
Do you? Yeah. He's apparently one of the country's best middle distance runners.
Okay.
It's a thing, I guess.
Duh.
Middle distance. And on Saturday, May 30th, which I believe is this past Saturday, he put on a pair of blue jeans, and he broke what is called like the blue jean mile.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that before?
I've never heard of it, but sure, there's a beer mile, sure. So why is it not a jean mile?
They do a thing for the blue jean mile, and he ran a mile in blue jeans in 4 minutes and 6 seconds.
That's so impressive.
Isn't that crazy?
That is so impressive.
In a pair of jeans, how uncomfortable does that have to be? Now, I'll give him this benefit of the doubt at least. They weren't like super skin-tight jeans, and they had kind of a hipster short jean vibe. Like, they were not like... short jean shorts, but they she's showing some ankle here. You know what I mean? Like, they're not dragging on the ground.
Kind of high waters?
A little bit of high waters, yeah. So not super tight, but not loose-fitting and slightly high waters. But still, 4 minutes and 6 seconds. He did it for a really good cause for the National Alliance of Mental Illness, which is a nonprofit that helps, of course, people suffering from mental illness. I believe his brother had committed suicide this last year. So he did it for a really good cause. But I thought that was crazy, man. 4 minutes and 6 seconds in a pair of blue jeans.
I mean, anything somebody's doing to break records in running, I has all of my respect as somebody who goes on jogs quite frequently. I'm not fast enough to say I'm a runner. I couldn't run a 4 minute mile buck naked. Couldn't do it.
I think that'd be harder, wouldn't it?
No, there's less restriction. Like,
than wearing shorts. If you're flapping around, you don't need to be tight and compact down there.
Don't you think it's harder to run jeans?
You want to let it bounce around?
More material.
No, I get that, but like to have like compression shorts on to keep it all tight.
Okay, best equipment.
I think running naked would be a little difficult.
I couldn't run a 4 minute mile to save my life.
Well, the previous record was 4 minutes and 11 seconds, so he broke it.
Dusty told me there was a ultra marathoner, and these guys are insane. One of them lives in our backyard here.
Yeah, they are psychotic.
They run like 100 miles. He said the guy that holds the record ran 100 miles at a 7 minute pace. What? If I run a 7 minute pace off a 7 mile run, I feel amazing. I feel like I conquered the world.
Yeah, I totally do.
100 miles?
I enjoyed this text. Tanner said, Sprague just found a new first date spot. Costco free samples. Okay, hey, Thursday. So Joe's been bragging about his hellacious seeds. He's sitting on the range. I think we got to go here, Joe. I think we're a little,
we're a little over.
I got the music. We good.
Okay. All right.
So Joe's been bragging about his hellacious seeds on the range.
Yes.
And we said, okay, buddy, let's see him in person.
Even antagonized me yesterday.
He did.
Like, Spreads, you easily shoot a 115.
He was taking shots.
Like, really, Joe?
Twitter.
You looked pretty pissed in that photo.
He was taking shots.
Well, they took like 8 photos. I didn't know when to smile and when not to smile. Dirt just chose the worst one for me.
Will Joe break 100?
I think we need to set this at 105, but that's my 2 cents.
Let's just go with the even 100.
Even 100?
Right. Let's go with the even 100.
Will you break 100?
You better be honest.
Oh, we'll
golf,
count.
Golf is an honesty sport.
We're golfing with him. We'll count.
Okay.
We'll track him.
I'm getting pretty nervous now.
Keep the confidence, my man.
I also love Kyle Knepper, the lovely Kyle Knepper, texting and asking if he's going to beat Joe by 10 or 15 strokes.
I've never even seen Knepper golf.
I haven't either. I don't know if he's any good. We'll find out. Hey, hope everybody out there is doing all right. If you missed any of the show, Let's Drop Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com. You had Anthony Newman on, good friend. He gave us some great thoughts about the current state of everything going on. So go check it out at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080thefan. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.